Coming up on 606 in the Fast Lane in 2-1. Woof. 606, your time check, brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. With all due respect, is coming up in a moment. Brad Barnes is here. Brad Thompson, Chris Ronji, you, Randy Carricker. Before we get to with all due respect, when it comes to radio etiquette, there may not be anybody who ignores it more than Mike Francesa of WFAN in New York. From falling asleep on air to spilling soda all over his radio equipment, he's done it all. This week, in talking about the Mets' playoff chances, he went old school by doing math with a pen and paper.
They got 44 games to play. If they win 22 and 22, they got 83. That's not cutting it. That's 83-79. That's not getting you anything. So you got to take 22, take 4 off that, go to 26, take 4 off that. That's 26 and 18. That's 89. I don't think yet. Take one more off there. I think it'll probably take 90 wins to get the wild card. 61, 22 is 83. That'd be 7 more. That's 90. But that's playing really good ball. It's better than 90. They have to play 29. It's pretty good baseball. I think it might take 90. It's 89 anyway. Eddie in Hoboken. What's up, Eddie?
Mike. I got to tell you, listening to the dead air while you're doing math is one of the greatest things out there. It's the best. Thanks, guy.
That's oh, wonderful. Beautiful. That kind of sounds like us.
I'm not laughing because he sucks at math. I suck at math. I'm laughing that all of that happened right there during a live radio show that he gets paid bajillions of dollars to do.
Dude, Mike Francesa has more disdain for his listeners than anybody. Yeah, it's like he doesn't even realize what sounds like crap when you're trying to listen to what he's doing. He did math live on air. At least he wasn't scrolling through his phone looking for a phone number silently for 40 seconds, which he did do once.
And he didn't really have an idea clearly of what it would take to make the wild card. That's one thing he should know right off the bat, is how many wins is it going to take? And then you figure it out from there.
Yeah, but his math was fun.
Happy 32nd birthday to Ronja's guy, Tim Tebow, who's celebrating not only by opening gifts, but by giving back, too. Tebow is spending his birthday soliciting donations for the Tebow Cure Hospital for Children in the Philippines, where he was born as the child of missionaries. The former football star and current minor league baseball star hopes to raise $150,000, which he says can provide 150 life-changing surgeries for children in need. With all due respect, why not just go in and touch them?
I knew you were going there with him. It would be too on the nose, Randy.
Yeah.
You got to raise funds.
You don't have to raise funds. He can cure him by just touching him.
I know. That's a good man, that Tim Tebow.
He's too good.
Not a good baseball player. Good man, though, overall.
You know, if baseball's worried about its finances and worried about the future of its sport, it would do well to promote him to the big leagues.
I am so happy that we're having a completely different Mets conversation than the when are they bringing up Tim Tebow. Thank God.
By the way, he's currently shelved because of a hand injury.
Yeah.
Why didn't he just touch his hand?
I don't know if it works that way.
Oh. You need somebody else with those superpowers?
Yeah.
Didn't he cure a guy that was having a heart attack by touching him?
He actually did. There have been multiple instances with Tim Tebow. One, like a guy was having an episode like on the field, like down the third base line that he like comforted until medics came. And another
saved
one on an airplane, right? Wasn't there an airplane incident?
It sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah. But I think there was another one where he had to walk across water to get to somebody. Maybe there was a third incident.
That was impressive.
Oh, I don't know if he did that.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I can't keep them all straight.
He's still susceptible to hand injuries.
Shouldn't be.
Even being divine. I think we know that, right?
That's good.
Just the holes in the hands. So that'd be it.
That is a hand injury.
Really?
Just saying.
I mean, we take things far, but then... Right overboard again.
It happened, Tim Tebow.
It happened with Andy Dick's mother earlier.
That's a texter's fault, not me.
What was her name again?
Anita. All right, that's enough.
It was Anita.
You know,
Anita.
We don't need any unnecessary vacations around here. Let's try to keep this on the level.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. All right, let's get back to something positive. You guys know I love Little League World Series. Like, I'm into it. I don't know why. It was always my dream growing up as a kid. Like, wanted to play in the Little League World Series. Never had an opportunity to do so. Well, one team, their dream has been killed. A team from Goffstown, New Hampshire. They were beaten in the Eastern Regional. They were beaten by a team from Barrington, Rhode Island, and they're not happy about how this went down. The coach is accusing the team that advanced to the Little League World Series of stealing signs, and the coach just said this is absolutely disgusting. With all due respect to the coach from Goffstown, New Hampshire, nobody likes a sore loser. Nobody.
Well, You're not wrong.
By the way, you shouldn't be stealing signs in the Little League World Series.
Really?
If in fact it's true. Yeah, Little League actually has rules against
it.
And you're supposed to be ejected immediately if in fact they believe it's happening.
Okay, that's something I did not know that.
Don't be a sore loser after the fact, because apparently he said coming into it that they knew this team was doing that. If you knew that, first of all, you alert people, but second of all, change your signs. You got smart kids. They'll figure it out.
Guys, we know that minor league baseball is fun. And one of the reasons it's fun is because of all the fun events that happen and all the fun you can have at the ballpark outside of the game itself.
Dizzy bat races.
Well, it wasn't as fun for one gentleman. 41-year-old Dana Hutchings is dead now.
Is he all right?
No, he died. He died because he participated in a taco eating contest. And ended up choking.
We wanted to do a taco eating contest here.
Still do.
Well, it
still
may not be a good idea. This gentleman is no longer with us after dying. He choked during this amateur eating competition. It is called the World Taco Eating Championship. And it was held by the Fresno Grizzlies.
So he was the favorite going in?
I don't believe so.
And he didn't win, so he choked.
No, I don't.
He did choke.
Son of a...
I'm guessing hard, crunchy tacos?
That's what I can't find out.
It's got to be. One of those things got wedged sideways on
Well,
them.
Wouldn't you think that it would be the dough? Like the soft tortilla?
Oh, no.
Because
that
would probably... I think you can get that down. The crunchy one
gets
lodged, and you're SOL.
We need to find out. That is part of this
equation. Yeah, dig into that.
Equation. I've been trying to find out if it was hard shell or soft shell. With all due respect to Dana Hutchings, that would never happen to meat.
Oh, no.
He's like a snake. He's like a boa constrictor. He just swallows everything whole, and he's okay.
I've never seen him eat tacos, I don't think.
You guys ever had any problems with eating tacos?
I've had once in a blue moon, maybe I'll bite off more than I can chew and get the crunchy shell wedged a little bit.
Here's what I think. If you try to eat soft tacos really fast, a bunch of them in a row, I bet that would more likely choke you to death. You ever tried?
I'm saying no chance.
Do you ever eat soft tacos really, really quickly?
I mean, I understand what a flour tortilla consistency is.
Yeah, I think you might have to take your time.
I'm not sure.
We need to find out.
Yeah, we do.
Either way, thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, what do you got for us?
BT was talking about the Little League World Series. With all due respect, nobody cares unless this guy's involved.
I'll take it.
Big Al's the man. Somebody always pops up. Like, there's always some kid that's a star.
Actually, I'll leave it. If Danny Almonte was part of it again, I think that would be awesome.
Oh, that'd be terrific.
You know, he was a good player.
Yeah, he was also 6 years older than everybody else.
You know, we kind of should have known since he was driving himself to the field, but everybody just said, you know what, he's a good pitcher.
Mustache and beard.
We're going for it.
Game's over. He's like, all right, guys, I'll see you.
Didn't he marry, like, at 18, a 40-year-old woman or something like that?
He's always been playing up.
He's doing the thing.
Always playing
Danny
up a level.
What Almonte's doing. Meat, I was asking you earlier today, you and Randy in the office, do we have anybody that's a Little League World Series connection? Like, do we have somebody that we could interview that could be fun?
Right.
Danny Almonte, go for it. I guarantee you, Danny Almonte at this point in his life probably would like an opportunity to talk.
Little exposure for him?
Okay. I think so.
Okay.
It's got to be good. Danny's got to be doing something.
Looks like he's a high school coach.
We got to talk to him.
So he's got like a bunch of 22-year-olds?
Oh, he's just importing.
Yeah. In New York City, Cardinal Hayes High School.
Yeah.
An assistant baseball coach.
We got to talk to Danny Almonte.
It says he's 32, which means he's 50.
Exactly.
And if any of the listeners out there know which Cardinals actually did play in the Little League World Series, please text us.
65780.
We're trying to figure it out. Thanks, Hot Shots. With all due respect, and I feel awful saying this, by the way, with all due respect, Bud Light is horrible.
What?
No.
It's un-American.
That's
who sounds that kind of garbage?
Can I expose their phone number for something like that?
No. Probably not.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't do that.
We get a text about this, by the way, guys, and I see a little bit on STL today. While it's not, apparently there's major MLS news dropping.
What?
Saying Major League Soccer plans to announce next week that St. Louis has secured an expansion team, according to multiple sources with knowledge of the league's expansion timeline.
There you go.
I know what our next segment
nothing
is.
Definitive from them, but it sounds like that is going to be the deal.
So we got to learn some players.
Plans have been made for an event Tuesday in St. Louis.
Oh, baby. So we knew it was going to happen, right?
We did.
I don't think there was any doubt. Much doubt?
I had doubt just because of how all the football stuff went down. Because right when you thought that you thought I had everything in a row, now certainly it changes when you have ownership that actually wants something to happen and is really behind it and dedicated and cares. But once bitten, twice shy, that's kind of how I felt about it. So until it like really happened, it wasn't going to be real.
How about we talk about it next?
We shall.
I think that we nailed it there. That's all the soccer I got.
Then are we done?
But we need to learn more. Okay. We got to get Wayne Rooney here.
We'll work on it. We'll work on it.
Okay. So what we will do is we will talk about MLS next in the Fast Lane. Ben Fredrickson at STLtoday.com reporting that Major League Soccer plans to announce next week that St. Louis has indeed secured an expansion team. That, according to multiple sources with knowledge of the league's expansion timeline that have spoken to Ben Fredrickson, sources spoke on the condition of anonymity, and the St. Louis group and MLS have not yet publicized the announcement. Plans have been made for an event Tuesday in St. Louis, next Tuesday. So that is not unexpected, but still great news.
We believe that we will win. That's a soccer thing, right?
Yeah,
yeah, it is.
Believe that we will win. Good, great, grand, wonderful. It's something that we've been talking about certainly for a long time. And it again, was one of those things where you looked at it, you saw the ownership group, you saw the land, the site, all the ideas. Everything about it seemed so perfect, seemed great, seemed like a no-brainer. Then you also had a league in MLS who was interested in you, which was a really nice change from the NFL, the whole courtship there. Everything seemed perfect, but as I alluded to in the last segment, the only thing that worried me was history. Like the history of somehow we're going to figure out a way to screw this up.
Something weird and random popping up out of nowhere, sure.
Sounds like, even without the official word, sounds like we didn't screw this up. And it sounds like it's going to happen. and it happens on the back of an incredible group, a leadership, ownership group. Somebody that is really behind this city but wants to get something done, knows it's going to be great for the city. I'm already thinking about downtown, what that looks like when it's Cardinals, it's Blues, it's MLS, whatever the team name is going to be right up the street. Man, that helps out a ton.
It really does. I think, and we've talked about this a ton, every little thing St. Louis can do to progress, that's what they need to do. And it's not like MLS is going to save us from all of our issues here, but it's something. It's a thing that we very much needed. And I'm with you on this, I guess, just a little bit. I really wasn't thinking that there was a real, true possibility that things were going to fall apart, because it would have had to have taken something really out of the ordinary, something crazy to happen in order for it to not happen for us. Because the moment MLS came back to us and said, you know what, we're not going to expand by one team, we're going to expand by three.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as they said that, and it was no longer between St. Louis and Sacramento, who both put up good bids, I pretty much knew that was going to happen, and I think everybody else did. It would just take something really odd to kind of throw a wrench into it, and clearly that's not going to happen.
And we need to give a tremendous amount of credit here to Carolyn Kindle Betts and Enterprise and Jim Cavanaugh and Worldwide Technology, because back in the day, going all the way back to 1953, when there was a chance that the St. Louis Cardinals could leave town, Gussie Bush and Anheuser-Busch bought the Cardinals. And for as long as I can remember, from the time I was a little kid until the time Anheuser-Busch was sold to InBev at the in about 10 years ago now, if there was a problem in St. Louis, Anheuser-Busch would solve it. From big problems, from building stadiums, or providing St. Louis University with a student center, or helping out with the zoo. If there was a problem, Anheuser-Busch solved the problem, and you could always go to them. Then we had a little bit of a gap, and now here we are in 2019, and Anheuser-Busch has been replaced by those two incredibly philanthropic and St. Louis-focused families and companies. And it's not just, by the way, Jim Cavanaugh. It's Dave Stewart and Tom Strunk from Worldwide Technology that are doing amazing things in our community. And obviously Enterprise Holdings and Carolyn Kendall Betts and that entire family do amazing things. So while you say that won't solve all of our problems, MLS won't, these two companies go such a long way to curing what ails St. Louis. We can't thank them enough.
Yeah, I do agree with that. I think my issue to opposition of MLS in the first place, going back a couple of years, is the people who would say, and I don't think this is, I think it's a shrinking number of people, but there were too many people who would say, well, that's not gonna make everything better, putting a stadium downtown.
The city voted against it, right?
Yeah, exactly. And well, that's pretty much what they told us. And I understand their concerns, and some of them are valid, but there's a very good line of thinking, and that is, don't let perfect be the enemy of good, which means if it's not going to be a perfect solve everything solution, then nobody wants it. Well, what you should want is something that's going to make things, even if it's incrementally better, just a little bit better. Progress. Yeah. Progress puts us in the right direction. And that's part of this. This whole thing is part of making St. Louis better. Again, it doesn't fix everything, but it does move us in the right direction.
BT, leading scorer, MLS, Carlos Vela of LAFC, 23 goals and 15 assists. Their number two goal scorer is Joseph Martinez of Atlanta, and Zlatan Ibrahimovic of the LA Galaxy is third in goals. Diego Rossi of LAFC is fourth in goals, and Wayne Rooney, we knew him, of DC United is fifth in goals. Yes.
Real quick, can I tell you something about the Wayne Rooney thing?
Yeah.
I thought I was making a joke when I said his name. I didn't think he played here.
Okay.
But apparently he's gone back to England now. So.
Oh, has he?
Yeah.
Okay. Maximiliano Morales of NYCFC has some assists. We are going to remember that name. So let's remember Carlos Vela, Diego Valeri, and let's see if we have a... we can go with Wayne Rooney. I want an American... How about Bill Hammett of DC United? You can remember Bill Hammett, right?
Don't think I can, Randy.
How about Tim Melia of Sporting KC?
Oh, Bastian Schweinsteiger. Oh. He's supposed to be really good.
Why don't we go with just Vaco of San Jose?
Ooh, I love that name.
I love those one-name guys. So, Vaco. And Carolyn, Jim, thanks so much. One request, get a one-named guy for our team.
Oh, we got a text message a long time ago. It was about an hour ago. Tell Brad to watch this guy who's a MLS legend, but unfortunately it looks like he had a seizure at the keyboard, because I guess this name is like Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Yeah. He's the guy that likes to headbutt people.
Oh, so he didn't have a seizure.
No,
okay.
He just headbutted.
I was worried for our texter. That's a real person.
That's
huh?
The guy that's third Zlatan, in the league in goals. Yeah.
Oh, he's third. Ibrahimovic.
Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Yeah, he's the dude got suspended for headbutting.
Oh, I'm glad everybody's okay.
And great work. You can read more from Ben Fredrickson and David Hun at stltoday.com, but great work by those guys at stltoday.com in breaking the story. Coming up, we learned today that Jake Arrieta is likely out for the rest of the season, and there are some other injury issues that are facing other wild card hopefuls that might help the Cardinals out. That's next on There is a lot going on in the National League wildcard race. Jake Arrieta of the Phillies told reporters today that he expects to miss the rest of the season. Of course, there is a month and a half left in the season, but he expects to miss the rest of it when he has an elbow procedure, and that's a big loss. Aaron Nola, who's pitching tonight for Philadelphia, has not pitched particularly well, although he's been better of late than he was earlier in the season. But if the Phillies expected to win this year, if they expected to be a wild card team, it's my opinion that they needed Jake Arrieta to be strong down the stretch, and he's not even going to be there.
Well, I think it's very obvious the way that the Phillies approach this offseason that they expected a lot more than just to be a wild card team. They expected to win the division. I think that most pundits, when they looked at the Phillies from the outside in at the beginning of the year, believed that it was going to happen. You knew the Braves were going to be good. You knew that the Nationals were going to be good. But the Phillies were certainly in that conversation of a team that you believe could win the division. And still, I mean, right now they're three games over 500. They're in third place. And, yes, they're right there in the mix when it comes to the wild card. I don't think they have a chance right now. With Arrieta being injured, they just fired their hitting coach and brought in Charlie Manuel. And Charlie Manuel, by the way, I mean, he's one of the best teachers in the game of baseball. Been doing it his entire life, and I'm sure that guys will respond to him being there. But they have just been in a downward spiral over there. Then they lose a guy in they lose Jake Arrieta, who I think, I'm not in that clubhouse, but I'm pretty sure that he's a leader of that group. And now you lose him, I think this cripples them.
I'm sure it's demoralizing. I mean, there's no question about that. I think they're hoping that Charlie Manuel is more of a calming influence on everybody else, because he's not going to fix anybody's swing at this point of the season. There's nothing he's really going to say or tweak or do that's going to suddenly make any of their offensive issues go away. It might just be that his presence there sort of calms players.
He's got that soothsayer vibe to him.
Yeah.
And you know, some players need I know that right now is, all right, here's all these numbers, and this is what the guy throws, and this is what he does in this count, and this is what you need to be thinking here. Some guys just need a pat on the back sometimes, but
right.
Hey, you got this. Hey, go get him. Hey, see it and crush it, big fella. Now, that doesn't work for everybody, obviously. I think that the Cardinals just got rid of their see it and crush it, big fella guy in Mark Budaska, and have trended a different direction. But every team is different. And you're trying to fix something in a short stint. Charlie Manuel's not your next decade of hitting coach.
No.
He's right here, right now.
There are guys who swear by him, but we're talking about former players. Mm-hmm. Guys like Jim Thome gives him all the credit in the world for everything he did for him as a big league hitter. But I don't know. I do feel like the Phillies are just another one of the flawed teams we're talking about here fighting for a wild card.
And the Mets have the same record as the Phillies. The Mets have lost the second leading hitter in the National League, Jeff McNeil, for at least 10 days with a hamstring strain. They have brought Ruben Tejada to the major league level. Of course, they'd already lost Robinson Cano, who was a middle of the lineup hitter for them. Their pitching has been, as expected, pretty good, but losing the number two hitter in the league and their top hitter is going to be a blow for the Mets. No question about that. A couple of other notes for you. You've already had Philadelphia and the Mets. Milwaukee is one game behind the Cardinals in the wild card standings. The Brewers did win today, but in August, Josh Hader, their closer, who has been unhittable at times during the course of his career, Hader has a 12.27 earned run average and has allowed four home runs in 3 2/3 innings. Four home runs in 3 2/3, five earned runs, and the league is pounding him in August.
Oh, I've been there, right, guys?
Whoa.
Yeah, we all know what that feels like. It's uncomfortable.
Do you know what it's like in the middle of a playoff race?
No. What I don't know is what it feels like to be as dominant as Hader was and then run into these struggles.
Right.
And we saw the Brewers last year. We know what their key to success was, a lot like they went into this year hoping it would be again. They thought they were going to beat the doors off of everybody with that offense, and the bullpen was going to be able to shut it down. Well, now all of a sudden, this bullpen has got some leaks in it. And the guys that you were able to go to all the time last year, and Hader was the biggest one, he's not able to hold up and be quite as effective. And like anything else, Hader's nasty, and his stuff right now is still nasty. But once you see him a couple of times, at least you have an idea. Then it goes back into the scouting reports, the tendencies. All right, I saw him last time. When he had me 1-2, he went with the slider. I'm going to be looking for that. I'm geared up for that, and if he spots up a fastball, so be it. It's the cat and mouse that also catches up just as much as the overuse in a certain year will.
Right, and I think that overuse is huge. I really do. And it's something we've talked about a lot. And the Brewers, having had so far this season, one of the top five bullpens in the National League, but part of that is because they have to be used so much, and they have been worth more to their team because they're being relied on. Well, you know, you get to the middle of August, where we are right now, and certainly by the time they get to September, you're talking about wearing down a lot of these relievers, and Josh Hader is part of that. As much as they had to go on, go to him last year, you can't just keep doing it this way.
Max Scherzer of the Nationals, who lead the Cardinals in the wild card race, threw a sim game yesterday. He's been on the IL since July 29th. Scherzer told reporters today, "I haven't been on the mound for so long that to be able to come in today and have it not get worse, that was the biggest thing. And have it get better. The fact that it actually got better, that shows you now that you're in the natural progression of, okay, I'm throwing two innings. Well, I'm at there, I'm healing up and I'm recovering well. Throwing two innings in a game situation, I feel like I'm able to pitch in a game." And there's a belief that Scherzer might even be able to go Sunday for the Nationals.
That's good news for the Nationals.
Honestly,
if you're a fan of baseball, it's good news for you.
Yep.
Because Max Scherzer, to me, and there are a couple of these guys in baseball, but Max Scherzer is the guy that I would love to pay my money to just go watch. See, so overall, great news for them. They're still in the mix. Unless something, I guess six games isn't fair to say catastrophic, but I don't see them catching the Braves. I feel like the Braves have enough depth where the six games right now should be plenty for them to pull away. But the Nationals to me are a wild card.
Yeah, and I that's what I was going to say. I don't honestly see anybody maybe even taking the number one wild card spot away from them. I think I know they're only one game up on the Cardinals right now, 2.5 up on Milwaukee, two up on Milwaukee now with their, it's two games up on Milwaukee who won today. I don't see them relinquishing that by the end of the year. Maybe it happens for a couple of days, but that team is in, to me, unless something really terrible happens. But you're right, there is no chance they catch the Braves.
And finally, the Cardinals have most of their injured players back now. Obviously, the return of Yadier Molina is big for the Cardinals. Is the loss of Jose Martinez substantial at all, or is that, at worst, an even play when you bring up Rosarena?
I think it's, I don't know yet, because I don't know what a Rosarena is going to do, but for somebody who was hitting about league average, it's not a massive loss, unless you end up replacing him with somebody who's well under that. And we don't know yet. We don't know, because we're talking about young hitters.
If this was Jose Martinez last year, where he was on fire
totally
the whole
different.
Time, or if it was early in the season,
yep.
You'd certainly look at this and say that's a significant loss. The way that I look at it now, and maybe this is just my Cardinal-colored, you know, rosy red glasses, I look at it as an opportunity to see exactly what you have. Randy Arozarena was a guy that could have been called up a month ago, 6 weeks ago. I mean, he's been having that kind of year. He's been so good, and everybody's been clamoring, waiting to see him, while the offense in that time has needed a spark desperately. So let's see what we got. We're going to get an opportunity to see it tonight. He's going to be batting ninth against the Royals, and we'll see. And I still believe that this ball club is better with Jose Martinez on it. Whatever the role may be, I don't need him starting in right field every single day. But I love the idea of having Jose Martinez
off the bench if you need him.
Yes, he is such a professional hitter, and he can drive the ball to all fields. Two strikes, it doesn't scare me when he's got the bat in his hands, because he can still stick his butt out and then throw the hands, and all of a sudden he shoots one the other way. I want him here and healthy, but right now it's an opportunity for a Rosarena.
If you're driving around tonight, you want to be pushing buttons, because we're going to join Philadelphia and the Cubs in progress at the conclusion of Would You Rather. The Cardinals can be in first place, tied with the Cubs at the end of the night. Philadelphia already has a 3-0 lead over Chicago as they play in the second inning at Citizens Bank Ballpark.
And here's the reality of the National League, and this includes the Cubs. These teams are very much flawed, all of them. All the teams that are going to be fighting for either the Central title or for the wild card, they have got some major issues. So that has opened the door for the Cardinals here. I would much rather be talking about a team that has it in hand and they're good and they're much better than everybody else. But I guess you go with what you're dealt, right? And what the Cards have been dealt here is a team that is flawed itself, but also evenly flawed like everybody else in the National League and everybody else in the division. So there's a real opportunity for them.
Are you not entertained?
Oh, but totally entertained.
Of course.
We're going to have a game 163. Somewhere along the line, somebody's playing a game 163.
I hope we get a five-way tie.
Don't threaten me with a good time, Randy. I'm
great.
In.
It's 4-0 Philadelphia now, and Cole Hamels is getting rocked. A quick would you rather before we head to the Cubs and the Phillies. Would you rather get your text into the Hot Shots text line 65780? It's next on 101 ESPN. All right, we like to play Would You Rather. Get your text into the Hot Shots text line 65780. If you didn't hear earlier, Ben Fredrickson of STLtoday.com reporting that MLS will announce the awarding of an MLS franchise to St. Louis next week, and that Tuesday apparently is the day. So congratulations to the people that have been pursuing MLS, specifically Carolyn Kendall Betts and Jim Cavanaugh, and congratulations to them. All right, would you rather, before we go to baseball, Philadelphia leading the Cubs 4-0 in the second inning. Big Sis, what do you got for us?
We've got some messed up listeners, guys.
Love it.
Like, really.
Oh, shocker.
Okay, I'll get you started with this one here. Would you rather eat a bag of someone else's hair or a bag of someone else's nail clippings?
I think the hair.
Yeah, hair. I'm with you. Nail clippings that cause problems in your throat. That'd be like the person that choked on the tacos.
Still haven't found out if it's hard shell or soft shell.
But if it was hard shell.
We got to find out.
It's got to be
hard. That would be terrible.
Well, this is a tough one. What has more protein? Is it all the same? It's the same stuff, right? Because if your hair and nails are strong, it's like the same stuff that you're ingesting.
I think you could mix hair in a milkshake.
I don't know how you...
And,
how do you get it down,
okay,
though? Like, and then you'd be pulling up. I can't.
Oh, I'm thinking
I'm going nails.
Hey, nobody says you can't cut the hair.
I'm going nails.
I don't want the scratchy nails on my throat.
That'd be fun.
You asked the question, meat.
You could ask anything. Like, hey, would you rather see a Rosarena hit a home run or Matt Carpenter? Like, stuff like that would be fun.
Guys, that's just the beginning.
Oh, great.
Do you want, like, the really bad one or just the kind of bad one?
I don't know. Whatever, whatever you got.
Okay. Would you rather have fully working index fingers for nipples?
I love that.
Or every time you fart, it literally hurts you and smells so much that it makes you cry?
Totally index fingers.
Yeah, absolutely. Otherwise, I'd be crying the whole show.
What?
just
kidding.
Lean over to type.
That's right.
I'm going with the vicious farts, and I'm going to really work on my diet is what I'm going to do. There's no hiding that. Like, it's always, nobody's ever going to look you in the eyes, gentlemen. Everybody's always going to be looking at your index fingers.
Well, nobody says they have to be sticking straight out.
Well, even if they're not, what if they're just still
like
limp?
This.
You're going to see that
through the shirt. How about that as a party trick? Your shirt just moves.
How many parties
like
do you go to?
Well, you're
going
to have to find
like
new friends every time, but you'll impress somebody.
By the way, Ron talked earlier about the guy who died in the taco eating contest, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And we've got further word that one of the people that had actually put money down on that guy was pretty upset. Here's what he said. That's what he said to him.
Oh, come on, man.
Yeah.
For dying?
Just, yeah.
For losing.
I'd like to think he won. Do you think that the taco that he choked on was the one that put him over the edge? Do you think that he got credit for the victory?
Yeah.
Me too. Like, if you're going to go out, you might as well go out a champ. I hope they put the belt on him on his way out.
And there's got to be, it's got to be like a...
Not the one that straps him to the gurney, by the way.
You start choking at like 9:55 out of 10 minutes,
wow,
right? And you win that way, and then boom, you bite the dust, you capitulate, you take the dirt nap, you buy the big one. And then you win, though. But who do they give the belt to? Do they give the belt to the dead guy, just place it over him?
Yeah, you just put it on him, and he's buried with it.
No, you give it to his family.
No.
But what about the guy that finished second, that didn't die?
Oh, forget
him.
I mean,
don't you get credit for living?
No,
I don't even think that he's as dedicated to the craft as the gentleman who passed away.
That's a good point.
I don't believe in the rules of the sport. At the end, it says you have to stay alive in order to win. I don't believe that's...
You've got to eat them
tacos. Yeah, right.
I'll bet you that's the rule they'll put in next time.
You know, this sounds like a really sad story. Sounds like a sad story, but what if this man had said, I don't know, a year ago that, you know how I want to go? I want to be eating tacos when I die.
Doing something I love.
So if that's what he wanted, this is perfect.
It's like Harry Callis literally dying in the broadcast booth. Same thing.
He did.
Probably the same thing.
Sometimes, literally.
You know, it's just nacho day.
You jerk.
Even though it was tacos, I felt like there was a correlation there, and I had to go for it.
Okay. All right.
You know, nachos with melted cheddar, if you make them at home in the microwave, those are the best nachos. They're so much better than the ones that you get at the ballpark where they've just got the squeeze package. Ooh. Yeah. Wouldn't you rather make them at home?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I like doing the Rotel, though, the Velveeta Rotel. Mm. I like that. But yours with the actual putting cheddar on it, yeah. I like doing that, but putting them in the oven.
Oh, that's a good call.
I love it because they get nice and crispy. Yeah.
With Velveeta, do you guys, one question, do you do the white cheese or the yellow cheese, and do you put like hamburger or spicy sausage in it when you do the cheese dip?
I don't do any hamburger. I just do the cheese and sour cream. That's it. And sometimes the black olives.
And some of the your family doesn't eat red meat, right?
Right.
So, okay.
Yeah, I love that one, the one that you're talking about, meat. But generally, the general go-to, if we're going to do it, is just usually the white one with the can of Rotel. Good to go.
Good
bing,
call.
Bang, boom.
Good.
If you have to give up a breakfast food, would you rather give up pancakes and sausage or waffles and bacon?
I'd rather give up waffles and bacon.
Oh,
by the way, would be to keep pancakes and... Yeah,
and waffles bacon together.
I'd like to have waffles and sausage together.
Yeah, and I think that's why he did it. I think he made this a really tough decision here.
I'm keeping the waffles and bacon.
Me too, mainly because of the bacon.
Yep.
Full disclosure, you guys will hate me for this. I can live without bacon.
Yeah, Randy is the weirdest person ever. Randy doesn't like bacon. He doesn't like Doritos.
He's not wrong. He will live without bacon.
Not that I don't like bacon. I don't love bacon. I'll eat it, but it's not an end all for me.
I think if you keep putting fresh bacon in front of me, I'll eat it until I have the wheezes.
I agree.
Turkey bacon, the worst.
Turkey bacon is awful. If somebody sends us a text, 65780, and say, oh, turkey bacon tastes just like regular bacon.
It doesn't.
No.
It's fine.
It's the worst.
If you hide it in something else, it's fine.
I don't know what cardboard tastes like because I've never eaten it, but this has the same texture as cardboard.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, it is. Even Big Sis, and this is food we're talking about. Big Sis is like grimacing, like, ew, turkey bacon. You got one more?
We got an update from a texter from the 618 regarding the guy that died with the tacos. Yeah. You could ask the family about it. They probably don't want a taco about it.
Oh, no. No, you didn't.
Oh, that's our producer, Brad Barnes. Big BT.
Hey, what is Randy and Rosa Raina going to do tonight? All right.
Here you go. Ron,
guys, I need to go figure out how many wins the Cardinals need to get to the playoffs.
Mike Ryder is always doing a spectacular job as our board operator. And we appreciate you tuning in, texting in, and being a part of the show. The Cubs and the Phillies in progress coming up next for all of us until tomorrow at 3. Good night, St. Louis.